Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to another edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. I have to get it out there real quick before Beowulf jumps in with...
What are you waiting for? Oh.
No pressure's on.
The name of the show.
Yes.
Oh, Eagles Beakley.
There we go.
As everybody can agree, is a better name.
I'll take bad names for 100, Alex.
I'll take original jokes for 400.
That's Fran Duffy chiming in here, and... Simmer down, everyone. Simmer down. Okay. It's the last preseason. Jeez. Thank goodness. The last preseason edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. So a little bit later on the show, Kenyon Barner, running back who was traded just 2 days before the game against the Steelers, arrived in Philadelphia last Wednesday, learned the playbook as much as he could, and went ahead 7 carries and contributed not just on offense but on special teams as well. He's going to join us here as our special guest this week on the podcast. But first and foremost, great to get a win, and it was just even better to see both the offense, first-team offenses and defense just dominate the Pittsburgh Steelers. Fran, I'll let you kick things off. What was your overall take on the team's performance?
I think you just summed it up. I mean, it was both sides of the ball really just
donkey dominant.
I mean, it was bad. It was, and you know, if you're a fan of the Steelers too, I mean, our second team went in against their first string.
And just donkey womp them.
in maybe different terms, I would put it. Yeah, but yes, that was the case. I mean, it was really impressive to see the first and second string come out and play to that level. I mean, both sides of the line of scrimmage, the O-line and D-line, I thought did a really good job. The second team O-line, again, has done what they've really done all preseason. That's come out and moved the line of scrimmage and let this offense move the ball on the ground. I thought all the quarterbacks were sharp again, and defensively, you know, they were able to get after it. The unit was flying around. Obviously, we talked earlier this week about the dime package being used. We heard Billy Davis talk about that, and it was good to see. It was good that was the kind of third preseason game you really want. And if you're a Pittsburgh fan, it's the one you don't want.
Was there someone when you went back to watch Fran who stood out more than maybe you would have noticed from the stat sheet or?
You know, that's a good question. You know, the week before, it was Aurelius Ben for me.
Okay.
You know, and obviously he caught the touchdown pass and he had the blocked punt, but, did a really good job blocking on the perimeter as well. I'll tell you what, man, it was tough. Obviously, it was Shady's best game. Jason Kelce had a great game. I thought the offensive line, that first team group, had their best performance of the preseason overall. And obviously, that was what allowed the team to, you know, produce on the offensive side of the football.
How did Nolan Carroll look to you?
Looked good. I mean, it was good to see. You know, it was interesting. Obviously, Carey was out, and Boykin was out. So, you know, they had to move some pieces around. But when they went into dime, Nolan slid inside. Rock Carmichael came in. Jalen Watkins played in the slot. So you were able to see, okay, this is the role you're going to play in dime, and he played over the tight end often. Over Heath Miller. There was the one play, if you guys remember the Malcolm Jenkins pass breakup where he
yeah,
threw
really
the ball.
Nice.
That was a dime play. And I'm going to break that play down in next week, I think, in Eye in the Sky.
Yeah.
That was my first plug.
Nice.
That was one of those plays where you can kind of see that package and how that's going to get used. It was interesting to see.
So is Bradley Fletcher still ahead of Nolan Carroll in your estimation?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you know, it's tough because Nolan's only played one game. So I would think at this point that would be the case.
Especially when you see the role that Nolan's carved out for himself here as the in the dime package. Bo, your thoughts?
Mark Sanchez again. I think, and everybody's talking about, you know, sending him off to St. Louis for a fourth round pick or something like that. Why would you do that? Yeah, he looks really good, and it's hard to totally reconcile how he looked in New York the last couple of years there versus how he looks here now. But I mean, not to mince words, but that offense was garbage. Up there, and he's getting the ball quickly. He's got good guys to throw to. I think the Eagles are in very good shape at quarterback right now.
Certainly, that's what you want. And you go to Matt Barkley, who's going to start Thursday night. I'm excited to see how he's going to do. He was 4-for-4 in the game against the Steelers. He's looked much better in his own right. So it's going to be good to see him, his first chance to start. Speaking of the Jets, looking at his last preseason game, I understand the most fans aren't going to think it's the sexiest matchup. It's the last preseason game. Starters aren't in there. But there's some key roster spots that are still on the line here. Bo, in your estimation, what are some of the spots that you're looking for? Which battles you want to get?
Fran and I both did our mock 53s today to sort of get a sense of where the tough decisions are.
How different are your?
We only had three differences, actually.
Okay.
We had a different sixth receiver. We had a different running.
So you had them keeping six receivers.
We had them keeping six receivers. We had a different fourth running back, and we had a different extra guy.
Okay.
He had an extra guy at tight end. I think I had an extra guy at linebacker.
Okay.
But I think the hardest decision, it's so funny because we focus on who's going to be the 50th, 51st, 52nd, 53rd man roster, and then come next week, we don't care about those guys at all. It just matters the starters. But the roster crunch at running back, I think, is fascinating because you've got two guys, obviously, in Sproles and McCoy. Chris Polk, we all have big expectations for heading into the season. He brings sort of a different kind of running style, but he's not healthy right now. So the question is, how much can you count on him to contribute early in the season? He's still battling that hamstring. We're not sure if he's going to play Thursday night. Matthew Tucker has been really good in the preseason. He's got four touchdowns. Kenyon Barner, who we're going to talk to later, is obviously a factor. Also a factor in the turn game. And Henry Josey has been really impressive, too. So Chip Kelly talked about it today, about how for those guys it's going to come down to what they bring to special teams. So you have to not only look at what they're doing on offense, but what they're doing in special teams.
Yeah,
it's fascinating.
Yeah, and the position that I'm looking forward to the most on Thursday will be wide receiver. Obviously, in my opinion, Brad Smith is the fifth guy. He's the fifth receiver on the roster. He's he's got a lock from that job. Really, I think if you're looking at the possibility of adding a sixth receiver, it's Regis Ben, it's Ifeanyi Moma, and Jeff Mail. And just seeing what those – obviously all three of those guys have, some different skill sets and can bring different roles on the offensive side of the ball. What can they do on special teams? Are they competing for that last spot with – and it's funny, I was talking about this earlier with Brian Thomas, actually. Are they competing for a special teams job with a fourth running back? Are they competing with a fifth safety or a sixth corner? What value do you bring to this team, not just to your unit, but to this team as a whole?
That's very interesting, that aspect of it, that it might not be who's the better receiver. It might be who's better at special teams. So you're going against whether to carry more at one position or not.
I'll even give a nod because Jeremy Macklin was throwing praise on Karan Pratt's ability on special teams the other day. So
really?
Who knows? Maybe he's a factor too. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's them or is it Rock Carmichael or Curtis Marsh for what they bring to special teams or Ed Reynolds, something like that. So it's going to be very interesting.
All right, so there's a few minutes we're going to bring on Kenyon Barner. You already mentioned, Fran, that you're going to have the eagle eye in the sky. Can you give fans who are not familiar with the feature, and I think most people who do listen to this would be fans of the feature, but a taste of what to expect next week?
Well, I would say last year it started as a once-a-week column, and then we kind of split it off into two once early in the week where it's just Eagles-focused, and then later on in the week where it's opponent-focused.
So well, it's hard to resize and put 50 pictures.
Sorry.
He's such an overachiever.
Seriously.
I'm sorry. Don't act like you're not impressed.
Thank you.
I am very impressed, yes.
So, Monday, I'm hoping next week we'll have the review of the preseason, take a look at both sides of the ball and where the roster is and some new things that we saw in the preseason. And then on Thursday, I'll have a look at Jacksonville. It's funny. I'm really excited because now that we're through three games, and it's through three games of Jacksonville as well, now I'm starting to put together my first rundown for Eagles game plan and getting ready for the show. And it's exciting. It's
quickly on Jacksonville because you've been watching all their preseason games. I think people are sort of maybe looking past them. I mean, on offense, sure, they've got questions at quarterback. But their defense is in pretty good shape.
They're flying to the ball. I would not look past them at all. If you're an Eagles fan looking past the Jaguars, and I know, you look at their numbers, and they were in the bottom three in every major category, offensively and defensively, last year. But
that's not a good place to start.
No, it's not. But you can only go up. So,
that's right.
So, I really like some of the pieces they added offensively. Obviously, they've got, Ace Sanders is going to start. He's going to miss the first few games. Justin Blackmon obviously isn't there. But Marquise Lee. Allen Robinson, who's been hurt through camp and may or may not play week one, but Allen Hurns is a rookie receiver,
your
undrafted,
boy.
My boy out of Miami.
Shrine game, baby.
Exactly. Reunited with his offensive coordinator at the U, Jed Fish, and it's coming and making an impact. He took advantage of his opportunity. So Allen Hurns, nice rookie receiver.
Obviously, still got Cecil Shorts. Yeah.
Cecil Shorts, Mercedes Lewis. They've got some pieces offensively.
Mercedes Lewis is still in the league?
Yes, he is. Yes, for UCLA Bruin. And then defensively, they go too deep along the defensive line. They get after every single game. They've gotten after the passer, and they fly to the ball. They've got some young pieces on the back seven that I like. So it's not a pushover. Not a pushover.
You talk about your game plan show. Next week is going to be the Eagles Radiothon, which is going to be in conjunction with 94 WIP. Fans can bid on the chance to win great once-in-a-lifetime experiences that you won't get anywhere else. The money goes towards Eagles Youth Partnership. One of the items, a new item this year.
Hanging out with you and me.
It's pretty cool. Well, that's an empty
seat
that.
Right there. I know. That's been one. Yeah, you know what? We should auction off a guest spot on the Eagles Beakley podcast.
That should be one of them.
We just can't give them the bad chair.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we can't promise that because we don't know.
We have to start labeling them.
One of the items is, yes, you get to hang out with Bo and myself during a game. You get to be a junior reporter or one of our reporters on game day. But one of the new items is a chance to meet Chip Kelly during the filming of the Eagles game plan show. So,
that's
Fran,
awesome.
You could take us behind the scenes, what is that experience like?
I'll tell you what, one of my favorite parts is not only, and obviously the Kelly Schrader segment is great, and Baldy and Chip are great on camera and everything, and those guys are great together. And obviously afterwards it's great, but what I really love is, and I'm this fan will get this ability to experience this as well, is being in the room with Baldy and Mike and with Ike beforehand and in between segments and just talking about football stories of those guys, like when they were players. And, you know, we talked about making that a show in itself of just those guys talking when they're off camera. And obviously we haven't gotten to that yet, but that'll be a really cool experience. I'm looking forward to that day when that fan comes in.
And you get a chance to hang out with Chip after the taping.
And I'll be there too.
So, yes, and you get to meet Fran Duffy.
Way to drive the price down.
next week also, it'll be the return for the second season of the Wolfstoncom, but also there's a new facet to it this year.
There might be a video component, but I don't want to give away too much for free. You gotta stoke the gears, really.
Okay, a little tease. So, with that in mind, someone who teased Eagles fans a little bit last week with his debut, Eagles fans wanting to see more of him, Kenyon Barner, going to join us here inside the studio on the Eagles Insider Podcast,
Eagles Beakley.
And we welcome inside here on the Eagles Insider Podcast, running back Kenyon Barner here. Kenyon, can you take us back to last week? You're going into a meeting in Carolina. Yeah. What was it like when you're being told that you're being traded to the Eagles?
Tell you the truth, I don't even know exactly what I was feeling. It was mixed emotions because you spend so much time with that group of guys. You get close, you develop relationships, you know, you spend time with families. It was bittersweet because I knew where I was coming to, but I also knew what I was leaving. So I was sad to leave those guys, leave that coaching staff, but I was also excited for the opportunity that was lying here in Philly.
So what did the team do to get you ready for the game Thursday night? Because not even barely over 24 hours after you arrive, you got 7 carries in a game. You're returning kickoffs. What did they have to do to get you ready in such a short amount of time?
Meetings after meeting. I got in at about 8:30 Wednesday morning.
And when did you find out? So how quick was the turnaround?
Turnaround was probably I found out about 8:30
8:30
at night. Yeah,
the night before. Wow. Okay.
Had a 6 o'clock flight. Got in, had breakfast, went and did my physicals and all of that stuff, and then we went through Fast Friday. And from about 12:30 until 6 o'clock, I was in meetings.
Okay. Who were you in meetings with?
Coach Staley.
Oh, with Staley. Okay.
I was with him up until about maybe 5. Then I went upstairs with Fip, and I was going over special team stuff. And then once we got to the hotel, I was on the phone with Coach Staley probably about 9:30 o'clock. 9:30 o'clock. Wow.
Yeah. It's been that kind of week for you, yeah.
9:30 at night, I'm on the phone with him. We're going over, you know, protections. We're going over pass plays, running plays. So it was quite the whirlwind that I was going through.
So we had Brandon Bear on the show last week, and he talked about how he was sitting at breakfast, and he just turned around and he was like, oh, there's Kenyon Barner. He said, what are you doing here? Like, was it fun, like, coming, you know, when you got into the cafeteria and you see some of those guys, you know?
Yeah, it was crazy, you know, because Coach Kelly was telling me, you know, there's a lot of guys here. I think you'll feel comfortable. And so I get into the cafeteria. I'm sitting there, see Bear, see Jeff, see Casey, see all these different guys. You're like, okay, it's not so bad after all. You know, you don't feel like the new guy, you know, because you already have pre-existing relationships with guys that you spent time with on the field, off the field, you know, you went out with in college, so you don't feel as much as like the new guys you would normally go into a place where you don't know anyone.
So what was like going in the meeting, in the running back meeting room, having a guy like LeSean McCoy, who's an all-pro, Darren Sproles, who's been in the league for 10 years, your coach Deuce Staley won a Super Bowl. What's it like in the meeting room with all those guys?
It's a lot of fun. You know, most people would probably think that it's uptight, you know, very serious, but it's not that at all. You know, we get what we have to get done, but we also have fun. And so to be in a room with those guys, you know, specifically Coach Staley and, you know, D. Sproles, you know, those D. Sproles, what, this is 10th year, I think it is. So to have that type of knowledge with him, and then Staley, who played the game for so long, to be in a room and be able to pick their brains about plays and defenses, it's quite special.
How soon after you found out you were headed here did you ask Josh off to stay with him?
Or did he
offer?
I didn't even ask. Once I got in, I seen him. I said, "I'm staying at your house." So it was kind of understood already.
And what do you? I mean, are you living out of just like a duffel bag?
Pretty much. I had no idea what to bring.
Right.
You know, I'm on the phone with my mom. What should I take? I don't know what to take. You know, I don't know what's going into this or anything like that. So I threw some boxers, T-shirts, and shorts, and maybe a pair of shoes and sandals.
Okay, toothbrush.
Toothbrush. There you go. And that was it.
So what was the first time you saw Chip Kelly again? Was it a quick interaction? Was there a talk?
It was a little talk. He was actually upstairs with the offensive coordinator. And so I seen him, hugged, sat down, talked a little bit about, you know, what he wanted, what he was expecting of me, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And he was like, "I think you'll be fine. You know, you'll feel comfortable. You know, we'll get you in line. We'll get you ready to go."
So what are some of the similarities or some of the differences between the Chip you knew at Oregon, and fully understanding that it's been less than a week here,
right,
but what you've seen so far from Chip here in Philly?
There is no difference. Chip is the same guy I met back in 2008. Today, nothing has changed from the way he runs practice, from the way he interacts with guys, from the way we dress, all of that. Nothing has changed. You know, you don't see that type of consistency in too many people.
So talk about the transition. Obviously, you're still transitioning and back into the offense, trying to learn this language, but it's familiar to you. You went to Carolina for a year. Is it kind of like a breath of fresh air to be back, and it's kind of, you know, something you're more familiar with?
Absolutely. You know, it took me a little time to pick up Carolina's schemes and whatnot. But coming from this, you kind of have an understanding. Obviously, he's changed pretty much everything about the offense. So what I initially thought is completely different from what it is. But at the same time, it's something that I'm familiar with. It's something that I came from. I spent 4.5 years in. So it's a comforting situation to be in.
Were you hoping, leading into the draft over a year ago now, that Chip Kelly would draft you? Were you hoping to be reunited here?
For me, no. I was just looking to go anywhere.
Okay.
You know, you dream about that day where you get your name called, you see your name flash on the TV, so I didn't care who it was.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to see my name get called and, you know, be able to make my family smile, make my mom cry, you know, stuff like that. So it didn't matter where it went.
So in one sense, you know, when you get drafted, it's proof that a team wants you.
Mm-hmm.
When someone trades for you, it's the same thing. So what was the feeling that you know, Chip came and got me, something like that.
I was happy because it could have been the complete opposite to where that conversation wasn't you're getting traded, somebody wants you. It could have easily been,
right,
we're going to go in another direction, so we're going to cut you. So you go from when Coach Rivera came and got me out the meeting room, he was like, "I need to talk to you." It was like going to the principal's office. You're like, "What did I do?" You know, you're going over everything you did in that day,
yep,
or that past week. So you're like, I don't know what this could be. So you're automatically thinking, this isn't good. So you go from thinking, well, if I get cut, what's my next move? You know, I don't have a job. Income stops, to, oh, you're getting traded. So it's kind of a sense of relief.
What were your expectations for the season ahead in Carolina this year?
As far as what?
What did you think you were going to be doing in that offense, or did
you know? Definitely contributing on special teams. I was starting, I was starting on every special teams. I was number 3 on the depth chart at running back. So I felt like I would have a pretty good shot at, you know, impacting that team. But once I got the word, you know, like I said, it was bittersweet.
You mentioned making your family proud. You're one of seven kids?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes, six boys and one girl.
Oof. Tough. One poor girl.
No. Not poor girl. Lucky girl.
Okay.
She probably gets extra spoiled.
That's true. She gets extra protected, too.
Exactly. She's the third oldest, but she gets treated like she's the youngest.
Of course.
Especially by the youngest, which is me.
Yes.
Oh, you're the youngest?
Yeah. I'm the quote-unquote baby of the family.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was that like? Youngest of seven.
I did a lot of running. A lot of running. Having, you know, five older brothers, you know, there's a lot going on in the house, a lot of trouble to get into, a lot of fights, and a lot of telling. And I did most of the telling as a kid. So it was fun, man. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Is it true that the youngest, though, gets away with the most?
Absolutely. No question about it.
Because I'm the oldest, and I see what my brothers have done. I have two younger brothers. And I'm like, I couldn't do anything that they did high school.
Well, see, parents learn. As time goes on, you know, they're extremely strict with the oldest,
right.
And then they learn, okay, we have to loosen the grip a little bit. So I got away with murder. Absolutely. I could do no wrong in my parents' eyes, but secretly I was the troublemaker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like years later, have you ever like admitted to some of the things that you did?
Yeah. To this day, anytime we all get together, stories come out. You know, we start talking about stuff that we did, vases we broke in the house, couches we broke, all kind of stuff. But we always tell on ourselves eventually. I mean, there's nothing they can do now.
Yeah,
so.
You're grounded.
I have no problem telling my parents what I did.
You and your
Chip,
mom?
Chip, this is Kenyon's mother. I just found out he broke a vase 20 years ago.
Now have you already dealt with the coaches now?
Yeah, right?
You and your mom have a very close relationship.
Absolutely. My entire family, really, you know, not just me and my mother, but I'm extremely close with my dad. My dad, man, has never missed one athletic game.
Really?
Not one my entire life. I played baseball, football, basketball, and ran track for a year. Never missed anything. So my dad has always been my rock. What I always tell people, when they see my brothers and my sister and I's relationship, you know, people think it's weird because we're extremely, because all we had was each other growing up. You know, we were all based out of LA. My dad moved us completely away from all of our family. And so all we had was each other growing up. So we're extremely close knit. And I always tell people, you know, you love your brothers. I love mine. I love my sister. No, I'm in love with my brothers and sisters. I'm in love with them. You know, till this day, I'll hold my sister's hand. If we're walking in the mall, I'll hold my sister's hand. I still kiss my brothers. I kiss my sister. I kiss my mom. I kiss my dad. You know, we have that type of family relationship.
That's awesome.
That is a great thing to have, certainly, to say the least. Trying to think what I was going to go with the family aspect there. Are you the best athlete? No. Are you the best athlete now? And I'm sure you're going to say, now,
in my family?
Say,
what?
No, I should say the best athlete. Because I'm sure you're obviously going to say yes because you're like, who else made it to the NFL?
No, not even because of that.
Okay.
Just no one's better than me and my family. You know, we have debates all the time. My brother Keandre and Martel, probably, I think it was my sophomore year of college. Everybody, all of my brothers, my sister, my mom, my dad were extremely fast growing up, extremely fast.
Okay.
And so it got to a point in time where my brother's like, oh, we're still faster than you. I think we were at a family reunion. We raced probably 10 times, and I won every single time.
Really?
We still get together, play basketball, whatever it is. We're a very competitive family, but I always tell my dad, I'm very competitive with my dad. I always tell my dad there's nothing that he could beat me doing, nothing. But that's a complete lie.
When did you beat him for the first time? Whether it's
when
a basketball.
Six.
That young.
In what, basketball?
Everything.
Really?
I mean, okay. So
I'm about to say 6 year old.
So you're gonna make me make, I'm gonna have to admit this to my dad now. Okay. he may have let me win. I mean, maybe.
Okay.
Well, that's why C-Mac's asking. He wants to know when he has to start letting his kids win.
Because I have two boys, one's six and one's four.
Yeah.
And it's sort of getting to that age where it's like, you want to give them confidence. You want them to believe in themselves. But you can't just let them win. So I'm
thinking
you have
six. You have to. I mean, you don't have to. You can obviously, you know.
You
just
do
go
you,
out
C-Mac.
And dominate your kids. Now, I don't know what people would think about that, but, you know, my dad.
Swat it away.
Yeah. Teach him a lesson.
There we go.
Right?
Nice shot, B2.
So my dad has never beat me in any. He's never beat me in anything.
Okay.
And obviously that builds a great deal of confidence in a kid. Oh, I can beat my dad. My dad's a 25, 30 year old man. I'm beating my dad. You can't, to a kid my age, there's nothing that you can do that's going to stop me from beating you. But obviously my dad let me win at a lot of stuff. Till this day, he still lets me win. I can't beat him in pool. I won't admit that to him.
Okay.
Can't beat him in ping pong, and I won't admit that to him either. But he still lets me win. So me and my family always debate, you know, can I beat you doing this? Can I beat you? Absolutely not.
Bo is a ping pong champion, apparently.
That's true. I can beat you in ping pong, too.
I'm going to say no. Tiger Woods could be right here saying he could beat me in golf, and I would say no.
Well, that might be the case now. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Sorry, BT.
What's the story of you just waking up one day and saying you didn't want to play basketball anymore, you were playing football? Yeah,
true story. My sixth grade year, sixth or seventh grade year, I grew up playing basketball. That's what my dad and my family, that was my thing. Basketball was, I've been playing that probably since I was maybe four. You know, that's
Point guard.
Yeah. That's all I knew was basketball.
You're an AI fan, correct?
Yeah, AI, huge Allen Iverson fan. You know, just to see that guy move how he did on the court and do what he did being so little. And I was a little kid myself. So
talking about practice. Yeah.
Not that conversation.
Not the game. We talking about
practice.
I knew you had it. I knew it.
I was obviously, I always played with my brothers. They would sneak me up to the park. We'd go play football. I'd play with football with their friends. And one day my dad came in my room to wake me up. He called me first, get up, you know, get ready for basketball practice. I played AAU basketball for the Moreno Valley Tar Heels. And I was like, you know what? I'm not getting up. So I stayed in bed. My dad gets home, you know, being my dad, didn't I tell you to get up? You got practice. Get up and get ready. Okay, he left out my room. I set up and laid right back down. And so the second time he came in, you know, it was a little bit different. His tone was different. He was like, get up, let's go. I said, no, I quit. He's like, what do you mean you quit? I was like, I don't want to play basketball no more. He was like, what are you going to do? All you do is play basketball. I was like, I'm going to the NFL. And he looked at me and said, boy, you crazy. You never played football in your life. How are you going to the NFL? And so he went and got my mom. He was like, go talk to your son. He's crazy. He's talking about he's going to the NFL. Really, if you ask my dad, he'd tell you this verbatim. And, you know, go talk to him. He's absolutely out of his mind talking about he's going to the NFL. Mom came in there, you know, mother being mother, can you just please get up and go to basketball practice? Can you go for me? I said, okay. And I wanted to play football for so long, but I was so little, my mom would never let me. And my neighbor, Janae, rest in peace, she passed away recently. She got my mom to let me play 1 year.
Really?
Yeah, she convinced her to let me play. So it's because of Janae that I'm actually playing football. So she got my mom to let me play. I got hit. My mom had one rule. If you get hurt, you're not playing no more. I got hit, I got hurt. So she never let me play football again, and I had to sneak when I was in high school. I had to sneak to try out for the football team.
Really?
Yeah, and so that happened.
She would ask you, be like, why are you coming home so late? Or
well, my mom worked late. You know, my dad always had been his own, you know, his own company.
Okay.
And so he's always came and got me from school. He knew, you know, and then I told my mom, like, yeah, I made the football team. What do you mean you made the football team? But yeah, that's the story behind that. Yeah.
I wish I could have used that excuse for not wanting to get up one day. I'm going to the NFL. What? I'm not going to school.
Yeah. So that was that story.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm.
So going into your senior year, you actually originally, I think, were projected as a third-round pick.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
What made you decide to go back for your senior season?
Oh, I made a promise to my mom. My mom is real big on education. My dad is really big on education.
And she still had no idea you were playing football.
Right, still had no clue. I'm completely out of the state, but she has no idea why. I made a promise to her that before I left school, I would get my degree. And, you know, in most cases when guys leave school early, you know, most don't go back to get their degree. And I was 6-7 credits away. So having made that promise to her, I had to keep that. You know, I've broken enough promises, you know, to my mom. So, you know, to be able to keep that, you know, I have to be a man of my word.
So you actually earned your degree before the season started. Is that correct?
Yeah. I finished school my junior year. End of my junior year, in December, I was done. So came to my senior year, I took yoga, I took ballet and PE.
Why ballet?
Yeah. What I took ballet because I'm big on Google.
Okay.
So I'm always looking to see what guys that have done what I'm doing now, what they have done, you know, to better themselves, what they did throughout their career to take themselves to the next level. And so I'm big on that. So I seen a couple of guys that, you know, they said, oh, they did ballet.
Yeah, who was the ballet? Steven Jackson or something like that?
It might have been.
I didn't know that he did it.
So there's somebody, yeah, there's some running back. But
anyway. There's been a few. And so I seen that. I'm like, ballet, tutu, tights. No, that doesn't work. But I was talking to academic advisor. He was like, I think you should do it. And so I did it, man. And it was absolutely amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it challenging? Was
absolutely, man. Between yoga and ballet were harder than football practice. Completely harder than football practice. By the end of it, I was tired. I was sore. Didn't want to move. But you, what you benefit from, you can't get anywhere else. You know, with ballet, it makes you in touch with your body, your sense of balance, your feet placement. You know, all these different things that help you on the football field.
What was it like though, being in a yoga class or ballet class? You're star running back at Oregon, All America selection. You're, you know, not struggling, but having a tough time going through these workouts with all the women in there.
I was absolutely struggling. I had a lot of help.
Okay.
But at first it was awkward because I think I was in my yoga class. There's maybe 20 of us. Out of the 20 people in the class, I was the one guy.
You were the only guy.
Yeah, I was the only guy in that yoga class. And then
tough life.
Right.
Brilliant.
And then in ballet, there were maybe three guys, but there's maybe 30 girls. And so, you know, you're this great athlete, you know, you're a football player, but you can't do the littlest movements are hard for you to do. So people are kind of laughing, but then they come help you.
Now, are you still doing that to this day?
I do yoga. Haven't done ballet since college, but I still do yoga.
Do you have any good, you know, not too embarrassing, but embarrassing stories about some of the guys who are here on the roster? Like, I want some good dirt on Wade Kelly Ekeepy, something like that.
Oh, that's my guy. I would never give up dirt on Wade.
Really?
Never.
Yeah?
Never. Wade was my guy, man.
Okay.
All right.
How about Brandon Bear? We know he's like 50 years old, so you know, we can move on.
And Bo actually said it to his face in the podcast.
Okay,
last week.
So we're fine.
He was the last one.
So we're fine.
Yeah. He was like, you know, you are like 40 trying to make the roster. It's amazing he's gone up 10 years in a week's time. So
yeah, I mean, who? You know, you, do you have a good
Casey Matthews?
Will, yeah, or Will Murphy story for us?
Oh, like, Will Murphy's my guy. I would never.
So we got to just keep asking you, and we'll find out who your guy isn't.
Yeah,
and that'll be the story.
Yeah, there you
like,
go.
Eric Chenander, who's not even here anymore.
That's my guy. I would never.
What about Josh?
Oh, I would never. Josh is my best friend, man. I would never.
After your brothers?
Yeah, after my brothers.
After my brothers.
When he got drafted, did you talk to him? And
yeah, I text him, you know, congratulations, because Josh worked so hard throughout college. You know, obviously he had a few injuries back in college, so he never got to really do exactly what he wanted to do. But for him to get drafted and have the opportunity, I used to always tell him, you know, nobody can take your film away. You have great film. For the time that you've been able to play, you have great film. So just stay confident and continue to work. And for him to get drafted, I was extremely happy for him.
All right, before we let you roll, we're going to do a couple questions. Game we call 21 questions here.
Okay.
Number 1 through 21, you pick the number. We'll shoot you the question.
Okay. Well, let's start with 1.
We'll start with 1. If you were a superhero, what power would you possess?
We have to start creating new questions.
Yeah,
ones that have been
Brandon Bear got this one last week.
Superhero power, I would go with the ability to fly.
Ability to fly.
Yeah.
It'd be so easy to score touchdowns.
So much easier. Just fly over everybody.
No, Brandon Bear's answer last week, he would be super dad. And totally just like... I mean,
threw you off, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what else would a 40-year-old say?
Shots fired. Shots fired.
All right, what's the next one?
Let's go with 5.
Number 5. Your favorite athlete growing up?
Kobe Bryant.
The same one as last week.
Kobe Bryant. For as long as, you know, I can think of anything, Kobe Bryant and Barry Sanders.
Okay. Barry Sanders.
Yeah, huge, huge Barry Sanders fan.
Do you look at, a lot of people have made a comparison with LeSean McCoy and Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Have you seen?
You can make that comparison. Yeah. Just with LeSean's ability to stop on a dime, cut, to make people miss, you can definitely make that comparison. I don't think there's anybody or there's been anybody who's as close, you know, from the running back position.
So go ahead.
Brandon Barrett answered his dad last week. If you had to pick one of your favorite athlete in your family, who would that be?
That's a good one.
Favorite athlete in my family.
Can't be you. Got to take you out of the equation.
No, I wouldn't go that far. favorite athlete
in my
family.
But he's the
best,
so why wouldn't
right.
you? Know?
Right.
I love myself. I love me some me.
I'll go with my nephew, Justin.
All right.
My nephew, Justin. The kid can ball. The kid can absolutely ball.
How old is he? Basketball or football?
Justin is 13 now. 12 okay. 13 now.
Basketball, football?
Yeah, basketball, football.
All right.
So would you steer him to Oregon?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would steer any kid to Oregon.
What made you want to go to Oregon?
Well, for me, it was obviously they had the uniforms and all that, but I didn't really know anything about Oregon. I was a huge USC fan growing up as
really?
A kid. Yeah, Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush was my guy.
Okay.
Mark Sanchez?
Boo! Nah, big fan of them guys. I was a huge USC guy. And so for me, it was – I needed to get out of California. I needed to get away from my parents. I needed to, you know, I know that sounds bad, but not in a bad way. I needed to get away in a sense to become independent, to grow up, to become a man. Because I knew if I had stayed in California, I would have been at home every day. You know, I'm an hour from USC, maybe an hour and 15 minutes from UCLA. So I would have been at home every chance that I got, and I would have still been dependent on my mom, my dad, and I need to get away and grow up.
Was mentioned, you know, speaking of Oregon and speaking of Kobe, my mind goes to Black Mamba, and so I'm thinking about the running backs. Yeah. You know, this is not the first time you've been in the stacked running back room.
No.
What was that like, that lineage of running backs at Oregon?
Man, every year there was somebody, you know, from, you know, my freshman year you had Jeremiah Johnson, LeGarrette Blount. Then the following year it was myself, LaMichael, LeGarrette. And then the year after that, LaMichael, me, DeAnthony.
Right.
So there's always a back, but man, it brings out the best in you. Especially watching DeAnthony. That kid is crazy. That kid is absolutely crazy to see what he was able to do and how fast that kid was. So it definitely brought out the best in you.
You excited for Marcus Mariota this year?
I am.
Yeah?
I am. Very excited for him.
You think they win it all?
Absolutely. Who would I
those
be
are my guys. I would never.
Who would I be to say otherwise?
Yeah.
I'm definitely not going to say Alabama.
It's probably not going to be Wake Forest either.
No.
Who went to Wake Forest?
I did.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It worked out well for me. I got here.
All right, there you go.
Yep.
Kenyon Barr, thank you very much.
Thank you.
For joining us here on the Eagles Insider Podcast. Best of luck to you this week on Thursday night and then the rest of the season.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
That was a lot of fun there with Kenyon Barner here on the Eagles Insider Podcast. Real fascinating about the decision.
Kissing his brothers?
Yeah. You know, I'm jealous. Jealous that I wish I was that close with my brothers. I don't see them all that often. So, but the fact that he's that close with his family but wanted to go to Oregon, to move away.
Makes sense. He's a mature young man.
Yeah. So very, very impressive, and we wish him the best of luck.
For a guy who wishes he could fly, he's very well grounded.
Nice.
Wow, look at that. How long have you been holding that one?
So am I.
I just came up with that.
That's good. All right, I'm back.
Our last game that we're going to play here, Play the Field.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me who my favorite superhero was. Or what superpower I would like for the third straight week.
Yeah. Maybe that'll be next week.
Next week,
We'll wait for that, so... Maybe we'll just leave it there. See how many weeks in a row we can get.
Someone picks number one. Yeah.
Because it's obviously, unless someone has the number like below 21, you're probably going to go number one. So Play the Field, simple enough. We'll give you a bunch of categories here, and you either take the one player or the field. So we'll start with Rookie of the Year. Who will be the NFL's Rookie of the Year? And Brian Thomas, our producer, puts down Johnny Manziel.
So this is offensive.
Offensive.
Yeah, we'll go offensive.
Okay. Offensive here. Johnny Manziel or the field?
I'm going to take the field And I don't even know who I would say will win the award, but I could tell you, even though I know here obviously he's not starting, but it's not going to be Johnny Manziel.
Hold on. The preacher's about to, about to deliver a sermon.
Everybody get ready.
Channeling
his inner Greg Cosell.
All I'm saying is that he's not going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I was very, very shocked that he went as high as he did, and how he's been in the preseason hasn't been a surprise. We'll see how it goes.
He's going to play, though. I mean, Brian Hoyer stinks. So
lots of guys played.
Yeah.
Blaine Gabbert played.
That's fair.
I just don't think
he can't throw the football. Is that where we're going?
Look, no. I don't think he's got a very strong arm to begin with. But you guys know how I feel about quarterbacks and the ability to be able to play in the pocket. And, a guy at his size – the way that he plays the game, I just don't know he's going to be able to sustain success over the long haul. So there are going to be games, I'm sure, where we're going to see the Johnny football magic and, where he's going to break off a long run. But there were times, I mean, look, the first and second and even the third game where first read's not there, he can't progress to the second read, and he takes off and bolts out of the pocket. So
did you think at least, though, I think the one thing I've been surprised about is that he hasn't been able to escape NFL defenders the way he did in college.
It's funny to a point. I mean, it's funny though because you see Barkevious Mingo run him down to the to the edge of the field in practice, and that's what I think a lot of reporters were tweeting about that. And you see some of these other defenses they've gone up against, they haven't been able to hang. I mean, these edge defenders and obviously the safeties and corners and some of these DNs are able to chase him to the perimeter and and beat him to the edge. So. It's not, it's not Missouri. It's not Rice. It's the NFL. So some of these guys that he outran last year and the year before in his Heisman year just wasn't the case.
It's
so.
Not Missouri, but yet Michael Sam sacked him in the preseason game the other night. So
that's right.
I'm taking the field. I'm going Brandon Cooks.
I like that. Everyone's jumping on the Brandon Cooks bandwagon for fantasy.
No love for Jordan Matthews.
You need
someone who's going to be the guy.
Yeah, right.
So I think that's going to be a big difference.
Bishop Sankey is also in there.
See, Cooks, I feel like there's too many mouths to feed in New Orleans as well. I think it's going to be the same type of situation.
I think so. There's not going to be – I mean, are there any rookie quarterbacks that are starting right now? Bridgewater didn't get it?
No, it's the first time since 07 I've seen the stat out there.
Yeah, so I mean, you got to look around. So you got Cooks, Mike Evans, Sammy Watkins –
It's not going to be Sammy Watkins.
No, it's not going to be Sammy Watkins. I would agree.
It's just EJ Manuel can't throw from me to you. So
you know what's interesting though is that I saw that they were making a claim for Jordan Palmer.
Yeah,
who coached Blaine Bortles in the offseason and obviously has worked with rookie quarterbacks. I wonder how his presence will help if possible.
Oh, yeah. There's the savior right there, Jordan Palmer, who's been unemployed all offseason.
That will be the story.
Here we go, Sammy Watkins.
That will be the storyline.
No, he was just cut by the.
He was in Chicago.
Well, whatever. He still stinks. I mean,
let's go.
That's a good one.
Let's go Eagle. A little more Eagle centric here. Who finishes second in the division? Assuming, of course, the Eagles repeat as division champions. Do you go Washington or the field?
I take the field, but I think the division is pretty bad as in general. But I think we're maybe getting a little bit ahead of ourselves that the Eagles are just going to be able to walk through, go 6-0 in the division, and there's still some talent on these teams. I'm not worried about the Giants though because their offensive line is still imploding. They haven't been able to get their rookie receiver on the field.
There it is.
Yeah.
There we go.
It's first time in a few months.
Yeah, first time in a few. First time. On the Eagles Weekly Podcast, I think. First time since Journey to the Draft.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys' defense is not very good, but they're still going to score on offense. I think they'll win shootouts. I think the Cowboys are going to be right where they are every year, right at 500.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree, and I actually was going back and forth between the Giants and the Cowboys. I would agree, though, because if you look at Dallas, where they were last year, and obviously, I mean, on paper, the defense is worse. But they were right. I mean, you guys know it went right to week 17. So I don't think it's too much to say that they could, beat out Washington, beat out the Giants for that second place spot and obviously compete for, the first place spot in the division.
How about Washington? Neither of you guys. The question for me is going to be RG3.
Yeah,
I think that's he just has not, and I obviously don't want to buy too much into preseason, but between last season's performance and this year, what we've seen, I'm not seeing it right now.
That's understandable. You're a guy in RG3 who has really never been asked to consistently play under center, not since high school. And even I didn't watch RG3 in high school, so I don't know what his system was. But all through Baylor, he was in the shotgun. And the past 2 years at Washington, he's been in the shotgun, for a majority of the time. So being asked to play within the pocket and drop back from under center, it's foreign to him. So he was going to look uncomfortable. And I'm sure over the course of a full game, you'll start to see him kind of get into a groove. But that's a valid question.
Just so you guys listening know, when we're filming the podcast, breaking news, the Eagles have gotten to the 75-man roster limit by waiving Julian Vandervelde with an injury settlement. So breaking news to the none of you who are listening live, but to you guys.
Thank you. We know. Thanks.
David Mulk is the man. He's the Mulk man.
Transition into our next topic here on the Eagles Insider Podcast. Most catches on the team in 2014, Jerry Maclin or the field?
That's a good one.
That's a really good one. I'm going to take Jeremy Maclin. I think last year in training camp before he got hurt, we saw that the offense was kind of funneling through him. There was a lot of balls going his way. I have faith in Jeremy Maclin this year. I think he's going to come back in a big way.
I would just say ditto.
Yeah.
To that
I think it's going to be Maclin.
I think it's going to be Maclin too, but I want to be different.
Okay. If not Maclin, then whom is the question? And I'm wondering if it would be McCoy. Mm. If we're going by most catches,
I think the chic pick by everybody nationally is Zach Ertz.
I don't know
that the volume is going to be there to lead the team in catches. But I mean, this is going to be an offense that obviously, you guys know, it's going to spread. We're going to spread the ball around. There's lots of targets. And
well, you got make up for DeSean Jackson's right. 80 catches,
Darren Sproles, Zach Ertz. Riley,
Riley Cooper. What about Riley Cooper?
What about Riley Cooper? No, that's a valid. Yep, that's a good point.
I think it could be Riley. I'll say Maclin, though. Just
all right.
So we can all be family.
Sweet.
Okay. Are we going to kiss afterwards?
I hope so.
Most sacks on the team, Trent Cole or the field? I'm not betting against Trent Cole, and he said the other day that he's in tremendous shape, ready to go, fired up for the year, had 8 sacks when he was making the transition. Was tremendous. All the sacks came in the second half of the season. I'm going with Trent Cole on this one.
I'm going to agree. And people have for year, the last couple of years have said that Trent's on the downside and yada yada yada. I don't see it at all. I think he's a guy that, obviously, and even this preseason, he looks exact. Right now, he looks like the guy from last year in the last 8 games that led the team in sacks. So I'm going to go Trent Cole. Ball's in your court, Bo.
Brandon Graham. I'm going to take the field.
Ah, very nice. All right.
Brandon Graham is good. He's a very good player. You should give up a first-round pick for him.
Let me throw this out here. Does Trent Cole belong in the Eagles Hall of Fame when all is said and done?
Yes, I say so.
Oof.
He's second in franchise history in sacks.
Yep. Obviously to Reggie.
He's missed, knock on wood, 4 games due to injury.
That's unbelievable.
In 9 seasons.
We were going through some stuff for Game Day magazine.
Yes.
Trent Cole and Todd Harriman's have played the fourth most combined games of any draft class teammates in NFL history.
Fourth most.
In Eagles history.
Mm-hmm. Fourth most.
And they will be third, assuming they both play 16 games, they'll be third this year.
Are there any other pairs from like the modern?
There are two other pairs from the modern era. The first place one you will never get in a million years.
Really?
But the second and third you might be able to get.
1973 for the first
1973. And there's 3 of them who would all be first place. Yeah. Any combination of them.
Oh, man, that was that class. So like one of the series that we've got coming this fall is the top 5 series. So we did a lot of work and interviewed a lot of guys talking about, and Ray Diddy talked about that 73
that,
class. And
that
how
means
it's got to
be the best class
in
franchise history.
And I can't think of who it was.
Well, one of them will be the honorary captain in week 1, I believe. I don't know if we're allowed to announce that, actually. So.
I can't, who's the modern ones
you have any
the modern ones it's got to be that oath that 2000 the 2002 class
no Sheldon and Lito
Sheldon
and
Lito and Westbrook
West.
Not enough
Michael Lewis
not as many as Todd and Trent
really
one's a tough one because there's one guy who you should get because he played a ton of games
right
and it's hard to pick the teammate. The other one is another guy who played a lot of games and is currently on the staff. And one of
so
his
Deuce. And
no.
No.
The other one.
The one who's on the staff. Oh, you guys are going to kill me.
He blocked Reduce.
Blocked Reduce. Oh, Trey.
Correct.
So Trey and... Oh, man. Trey Thomas and... Now, I got nothing. This what do you good. Got? What do you
it's,
got?
It's originally, C-Mac guest Ike Reese, which was very close. He played two fewer games, unfortunately, than Jeremiah Trotter. So it's Trey
so
and Trotter.
Trey and Trot.
Yep.
Very nice.
They're third.
They're
second
third.
Is Dawkins.
Okay.
And another member of the 04 Super Bowl offensive line.
Jamal. No, he wasn't drafted.
Jamal would be offended. You think he's so old.
That's true.
His face is on a bus.
Jermaine Mayberry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Founder of the
Dawkins
Eagles.
Dawkins and Jermaine Mayberry.
There you go.
I like that.
So, but I am definitely in a wholehearted agreement that Trent Cole belongs in the
I think
Eagles
so
Hall
too.
Of Fame.
Anybody else on the current roster you think will be an Eagles Hall of Famer?
LeSean.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, LeSean
no
probably
question.
Breaks the franchise rushing
just,
record this year.
Yeah, definitely.
Just trying to go through. You can make a case for Todd Harriman's for longevity.
Sure could.
Taylor Hart.
Yep, I thought about that.
About 15 years.
Flewellen.
John Dornbos would be interesting.
Really? That's an interesting
wow.
one.
You're going based on longevity.
Yeah.
But you can talk about what he brings to the organization.
Including
from,
ETN.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question.
Well, and just the,
inside
the goodwill, Eagles? The goodwill ambassador aspect of it. So
That's an interesting one.
Yeah,
so,
that is an interesting one. All right.
So I think that you would put him in the case.
Did you guys catch the HBO special?
It
was I did. Very good.
It was great.
An outstanding
it was
job.
Excellent.
Outstanding job by them. But is he going to be Brian Thomas, our producer? He's going to be involved in the shows again this year, correct? We get Brian.
He will be a host.
Excellent.
Inside the Eagles.
Inside the Eagles.
Check it out.
Emmy Award winning host, John Dornbos.
Okay, here's one for you.
Okay.
Who will lead the Eagles in field goals this year, Alex Henry or the field?
Alex Henry.
I think so, too.
Alex Henry.
I still think at the end of the day that he's the best option. He just needs to get his confidence sorted out. He's been able to kick. He's been good his first 3 years. Just, I can't explain it, but
I think it'll be okay.
Agreed.
It'll write itself. All right, last one, and this was even on the sheet here. It says for Fran, but of course,
hey, listen. Everyone,
thank you, Brian.
Who will win the Heisman Trophy? Since Fran's such a big college football guy, Jameis Winston or the field?
I'm going to take the field. I'm going to say Marcus Mariota.
Yeah,
I'm going to go Marcus Mariota. And not just because Kenyon Barner said so.
That's his guy.
I would never. Right. but I'm going to go Marcus Mariota. There's lots of other options. Obviously, Braxton Miller's injury affects that. But Todd Gurley from Georgia, I think, has got a shot. Producer Mark LeBlanc would say that he's the front runner. There are a number of guys. I'm so excited. Thursday night can't be here soon enough. Texas
I know.
A&M,
I know.
South Carolina.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Wake versus Louisiana Monroe.
I was talking about Temple Vanderbilt.
Okay.
A 9:15 start.
Did you see Gil Brandt's prediction of the?
I did.
Throwing
shade at Wake. They started off as I think 3-point favorites. Now it's a pick'em. So
really,
it's going in Louisiana Monroe's direction. Yeah. But never count out Dave Clawson.
That's what you've learned in his time at Wake.
That's what I've learned. Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna take the field too. I would have picked Mariota, but just to be different, I'll say that Braxton Miller's injury opens up the door for Michigan State to run the table in the Big Ten, and I'll take Connor Cook.
Connor Shaw was at South Carolina.
Yeah. Yep. So that's why that question was for Fran.
Yeah.
I like Connor Cook, though.
I like Connor Cook,
too. Not a bad idea. I like that.
All right, fellas. I think that's going to do it. So by the time we meet again next week, it's going to be time for Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Well, a 53-man roster. It'll be time to preview the first battle of the season.
It's here.
So
we thank
time.
You for listening to the Eagles Beakley Podcast.
Oh, I get the last word in? Wow. Probably not, because you'll slip it at the end anyway. But for Bo and Fran,
I always
McPherson, do. Thanks for joining us on the Eagles Entire Podcast.
Eagles Beakley.